Today's cases will be called as previously announced. The times will be as allotted to council. The first case today is number 23-1726, Julio Alvarado Reyes et al. Versus Merrick B. Garland. At this time, would counsel for the petitioner please introduce himself on the record to begin?
Good morning, and may it please the court. Christian Meyer on behalf of petitioners. I would seek 3 minutes of rebuttal time.
Yes, you may have it.
Okay. Thank you. Petitioners are petitioning this court for review of the Board of Immigration Appeals' summary affirmance of the immigration judge's denial of their application for asylum. The petition is based on three alleged errors. The first being that the immigration court erred in holding that the proposed social group of Salvadoran men who resist gang recruitment was not legally cognizable. That was based on the immigration judge's finding that this group lacked social distinction and was not defined with the requisite particularity.
Can I ask you a question?
Yes, of course.
Oh, go ahead. Can I ask you a question about that particular social group, the Salvadorian men who resist gang recruitment? What evidence do you point to as supporting that claim as socially distinct, meaning that it's perceived by Salvadorian society as a distinct group and not just perceived that way by, say, the gang members?
Right. So in relation to that, the record included the UNHCR's findings on the protection needs for asylum seekers. I would note that that report was formulated by the UNHCR's experience with working with asylum seekers from El Salvador. That's at AR 395. I would further note that many of their findings are in the footnotes cited directly to periodicals from El Salvador. Those include El Faro, La Prensa Gráfica, La Prensa Libre, and El Diario de Hoy.
Those who are the targets certainly feel distinct because they've been singled out by the gangs and they're specifically targeted. But in order to be socially distinct, the greater community has to understand that you have this particular characteristic. And I don't understand how a greater community would know who was being targeted by a gang and who wasn't.
Yes, so in response to that, the reason I brought up the periodicals is because each of those findings that are published in these newspapers note the distinction in that people who resist gang demands are subject to, quote, swift and brutal reprisals.
By the gangs?
Yes, by the gangs. But the fact that that information is widely disseminated within El Salvador stands to support the fact that society at large, not just the persecutors, understand that an action like resistance to a gang demand would be met with severe violence and threats. And that, since it's disseminated across the country, represents the fact that not just the gangs, but society at large perceives and distinguishes members of this group as notable for that increased risk of harm.
But how are they recognized as members of that group?
So matter of MEVG, which was the board's case, which discusses social distinction, notes that ocular visibility is not a requirement of social distinction. So someone within society would not need to be able to see someone and say, okay, that person was threatened by the gangs, and understand that just by looking at them, they are a member of this social group. Rather, it's that society at large understands that someone who possesses that characteristic would be viewed as a distinct subset of society, which this record compels that finding, because it shows that Salvadoran society recognizes the increased risk of harm that acts like resistance to gang demands or resistance to recruitment bring about.
Let's assume you were to establish that he was a member of a cognizable social group that you've defined, you then have a second hurdle to get over, right? The nexus hurdle.
Yes.
And we have an IJ who found that he was not targeted on account of that particular group, assuming it's a group. He was targeted because he had a truck. And so don't we need to ask the question whether there's any substantial evidence to support that finding? And if there is, whether we agree with it or not, we would have to affirm.
Yes, that's true. Now, in relation to that finding, the initial approach, asking him to perform this favor, clearly was motivated by the desire to use him to advance their criminal schemes. But it was the persecution itself, which was the threats against himself, the threats against his family, were not predicated on that desire. They were predicated on his refusal. Now, that is supported by his own language, but it's also supported by several supporting declarations from neighbors who explained how, they explained how it was the refusal to comply with these demands that was the basis for the threats.
So that if I follow you, that would suggest that someone could not be a member of this assumed social group, receive a request or an order or demand from one of the gangs, and the moment they say no and the gang reacts adversely to it, at that moment they become a member of this social group?
Yes, because they would share the characteristic of defiance to the gang's demands. So yes, it is at the time that they refuse that sets them apart as a member of the social group, as well as distinguishes them within society
at
large.
And no one could have told that they were a member of that social group before the demand was made, because indeed they weren't. And yet, in the brief period of time, how it seems to push back on your distinctiveness, socially distinctive requirement. It seems, how would the public even know that a demand had been made upon them?
Again, pointing back to MEVG, there's no requirement that society recognize an individual as a member of this group, rather that they recognize that members of this group are distinct within society, as well as the fact that a member of this group would self-recognize as a member of the group. And it's that resistance that both establishes their membership within the social group, as well as establishing the distinction.
Thank you. You have three minutes for rebuttal.
Thank you, counsel. At this time, would counsel for the respondent please introduce himself on the record? They have a 10-minute response.
Hello. May it please the court, my name is Jesse Lorenz, and I represent the Attorney General of the United States. This petition for review should be rejected because it is nothing more than a resistance to gang recruitment case. As this court has consistently held, and as recently as last Friday, July 18th, harm related to and a fear of future harm because of resistance to gang recruitment is not a sufficient basis for asylum or withholding of removal. Indeed, in Ramos Gutierrez, this court specifically held that resisting gang recruitment does not create the kind of defined social group contemplated by the asylum requirement. Petitioner has not distinguished his case in any way from this precedent, thus it should be rejected. He has shown no nexus to his other two proposed social groups that the immigration judge accepted, that is of family and Salvadorian men. He was recruited because of his truck, and any of the threats were related to that, or all the threats were related to that. In his opening brief, petitioner argues that the board erred in using its affirmance without opinion procedure. That argument should also be rejected. As this court recognized as recently as July 1st in Cruz, the use of that procedure is mandatory in certain circumstances, especially where the case is squarely controlled by precedent, given that this court's precedent regarding PSGs of resistance to gang recruitment, this case is squarely controlled by that. Thus, the board appropriately used its affirmance without opinion procedure.
Do you contend that resistance to gang recruitment is indistinguishable from failing to cooperate with the gang, whether or not you join it?
Well, I think it's all the kind of similar rejected social groups that have been consistently rejected by this court, the board, these kind of interactions with gangs, they have consistently been found not a basis for asylum. So I think, yes, that they all are somewhat related and not very distinguishable. Your Honors, if there's no further questions, we just ask this court to follow its precedent and deny this petition for review. Thank you.
Thank you, counsel. At this time, counsel for the petitioner has a three-minute rebuttal. Please reintroduce yourself on the record to begin.
Christian Meyer for petitioners. So in relation to this court's precedent, in relation to the similarly articulated particular social groups, this court has maintained that the cognizability of a particular social group is a fact-specific inquiry. So while true that there exists a body of precedent, that precedent only stands for the fact that those individual records were not sufficient to establish social distinction.
Well, how is this record different?
In relation to social distinction, there is a wide amount of supporting evidence that shows that that defiance to gang authority sets apart members of this group because of the extreme risk of harm. And again, going back to...
But are you saying those records didn't have as much evidence as this record?
Yes. So specifically, two such cases relating to social distinction are Sokop v. Holder and Mendez-Barrera v. Holder. And in both of those, this court held that it was the record itself that lacked sufficient evidence to show that members are perceived as a group by society. In Montoya-Lopez, this court held that any visibility was in relation only to the persecutors themselves. Here, this record, including the UNHCR's findings, as well as several expert declarations of experts in the conditions of El Salvador in relation to gangs, have held that society at large recognizes that these acts of defiance set you apart because you're at extreme risk of violent reprisal. So while true that there exists, you know, the precedent noted by respondent, it's not a categorical bar on such a social group, as so long as you can establish the requisite social distinction and particularity. And a substantive review, which was not engaged in by the immigration judge, rather he relied solely on that body of precedent, it fails to engage in that fact-specific inquiry.
Can I just quickly, so
yes.
You have country conditions report, mm-hmm. You've told us today there are also periodicals within the record.
Yes, footnotes in those reports,
okay.
Yes.
Any other specific factual support within the record that would answer Judge Thompson's question?
That would be the petitioner's testimony and declaration, as yeah. well as, I don't know the exact number, but there were substantial supporting declarations from other members of the community, neighbors who knew about this, who also speak to not just the motivation for the resistance, but the fact that this is a common occurrence and understood within the community.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr.
Thank you, counsel. That concludes argument in this case.